I am speaking to you at a moment of grave crisis.
I'm Jeff Turner, and this is Recall. It's a series about history. Not the ancient past, but history that's still hot to the touch. In this first season, I explore a revolutionary political movement that brought a modern democracy to the brink. You can find Recall, How to Start a Revolution, on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hi, I'm Ian Hanemansing. Welcome to Checkup's Ask Me Anything podcast. And today it's our AMA about measles and kids' vaccinations.
New data show there were more than 40,000 measles cases across Europe in 2023, a 40-fold increase from just 1 year before.
That's the warning from medical experts who say Canadians can expect to see outbreaks of measles after an explosion of cases in Europe.
Measles is probably the most infectious human virus that is known. Over the course of the pandemic, we've had a historic backsliding in the immunization rates around the world.
A memo from Dr. Kieran Moore, Ontario's Chief Medical Officer of Health, is urging public health units to be prepared for more cases. And Canada's chief public health doctor is calling on Canadians to make sure they're vaccinated against measles as we see more cases globally. The advice follows similar statements from provincial health authorities in Ontario and Manitoba, warning of potential outbreaks. According to the WHO, more than 42,000 measles cases were reported across Europe last year. As of today, there are 6 confirmed cases in Canada. That includes a Toronto infant who is hospitalized. Now, most of these cases involve unvaccinated or under-vaccinated children who traveled abroad. And that's the focus of this week's Ask Me Anything. Our AMA guest is Dr. Jacqueline Wong, a pediatric infectious disease doctor at McMaster University. And she answered questions about measles and kids' vaccinations. Here are some highlights from the show. Dr. Wong, thanks for joining us again.
Hi, Ian. It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we talked for a moment about measles, the concerning part of measles. And I guess... There are kids who get measles who end up hospitalized, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then before we go to calls, tell me about the measles vaccination for kids. When should they get it? What are the side effects? You know, the sort of the questions you must answer all the time from parents about the vaccination.
Yeah, happy to. So measles is included as one of the routine vaccinations that children get in Canada. Here in Canada, the vaccination they receive is called the MMR vaccine. So it includes measles, mumps, and rubella. The first dose is given shortly after the first birthday or 12 months of age. And then the second dose, the timing of it can sometimes vary from province to province. I'm speaking to you from Toronto, from Ontario. So here our second dose is given just before starting grade school. So anywhere between age 4 and age 6, children will get their second dose. Sometimes people will get their second dose again as MMR, or sometimes it's MMRV because it's combined, those three viruses is combined with varicella or chickenpox as well.
Mm-hmm. And side effects?
Yeah, so generally very well tolerated. If children develop any sort of redness or soreness, it's usually just at the site of the injection. The one interesting thing about this vaccine is when it does come with a fever, the fever is usually a week later. So oftentimes for the other routine vaccines that, let's say, babies get in the first year of life, mm-hmm. most of the time the doctors will remind parents that, you know, your child might be a little fussy, might have a low-grade fever in the first day or two. But with the MMR vaccine, sometimes that fever comes a week later. So it's just a slightly different reminder to give to families, but well-tolerated.
I'm going to go to calls in just a moment, but Dr. Wong, one more question for you, and that is about the efficacy of these vaccinations. After that first shot, when the baby is a year old and a booster later on, how successful are these shots in preventing a child from getting measles?
Yeah, this vaccine works really well. And that's partially why we were able to eradicate it here and in a lot of other countries when vaccine uptake rates are very good. So after the first dose of the vaccine, probably around 92-93% of people will develop protective antibodies. And then after the second dose, that rate goes up to 97%. So basically, almost everyone who did not respond the first time will respond the second time. And that was part of the reason for moving from a single-dose vaccine series to a two-dose vaccine series.
So that 97% for the antibodies that are generated after the second shot, does that mean that basically only 3% of people at that point are susceptible to getting measles, even if they're exposed to it?
It might even be less than that because, you know, we're measuring someone's body's ability to mount or produce antibodies to it, mm-hmm. There's always the possibility that someone might produce a lower level that isn't detected on an assay, but when they encounter the infection, they're able to mount that response. Mm-hmm. And part of that is it's a live vaccine or a weakened vaccine, mm-hmm. And once you have two doses, it should be able to provide you lifelong immunity as well.
All right. Well, speaking of lifelong immunity, I know you're a pediatric infectious disease specialist, but we're going to get some questions as well from people who don't go to see a pediatrician. And Barbara Glick is our first caller. She's here in Vancouver. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
What's your question for Dr. Wong?
Okay. So we're both 80 years old. Next week, we're going to Italy and Greece for a month. We do not remember ever having had a vaccination. So one is, do we need to worry about a vaccination because we're 80? Two, if we do want a vaccination here in Vancouver, is it free?
Great questions. I think on the last thing, Dr. Wong probably doesn't know the answer to that. I happened to have called a pharmacy yesterday, Barbara, and asked them about the measles vaccine. And they said, yeah, just show up, drop in, bring your BC health card. So that sounded like probably free to me, but I don't know for sure. But listen, on the first set of questions, let me put those to Dr. Wong. I know, again, Dr. Wong, you're a pediatric specialist, but what can you say to Barbara, 81 years old, about to go to Italy and Spain, doesn't remember if she ever had the shot, should she have it?
Hi, Barbara. Thank you so much for your question. And that's a very common scenario that we hear. So even though I'm on the pediatric end of the life spectrum, because measles was far more common, we'll say several decades ago, before the 1970s, my math's probably off, maybe 50 years ago. At any rate, measles was more common back then because we didn't have the routine vaccination program around. So most people were not vaccinated as children who were born before 1970. And the assumption is they would have immunity because they probably acquired it as a child. With the current increase and resurgence of this infection in many parts of the world, including Europe, a lot of people will recommend getting a dose. It might be your second dose, maybe you don't remember as a child, but an additional dose if you're an adult. And so going to speak to your pharmacist, it sounds like Ian has done some research about easy ways to access this vaccine, or your primary care provider, just to verify from your individual health perspective that there aren't any reasons not to. But the vast majority of otherwise healthy 80-year-old people are fine to go ahead and get this vaccine.
Hey, my name's Jamie Poisson, and I'm the host of Front Burner. It's the CBC's daily news podcast. And every day, we're discussing the big events and fault lines shaping Canada and the world. Politics, economics, social movements, you name it. Sometimes we even talk about really fun stuff, like the enduring relevance of Lord of the Rings. You can hear Front Burner on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prophecy Sun is also here in Vancouver. Hi, Prophecy.
Oh, hi. Thanks so much for having my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. What's your question for Dr. Wong?
I'm really curious. I know you were mentioning, Dr. Wong, earlier about the efficacy of the vaccinations. I have a 1.5-year-old almost, a 16-month-old. I have an 8 and a 10-year-old. The 8 and the 10 have both had their second dose. And earlier you were mentioning that the efficacy is lower for the first shot. So I'm just wondering at this point, since there have been outbreaks, what are the chances of something happening here in Vancouver? And do you have any advice on ways to mitigate and educate family and friends?
Great questions, Prophecy. Thank you for your question. So the first question is around what is the likelihood of seeing more outbreaks in Vancouver or other parts of Canada because the vaccine might not have its optimal effect if it's only been one dose, or there might be people that might not be eligible to get the vaccine. So I think that the answer to that really depends on where you reside and kind of the vaccine uptake rate in your community. So what we generally say is, if 95% of the people in the community have had their full vaccination series, so the two doses, then that is enough to prevent an outbreak, meaning prevent spread from person to person to person. So anything lower than that, then the risk is there. And that's why even in a setting like ours, where this is a routinely available vaccine that is free of charge, we're raising the alarm bells. And I guess that leads me into the second question in terms of what can people do. I mean, we're in the middle of winter, and so we're always saying, you know, try to avoid crowded spaces in the winter time. Try to avoid being around other people who are sick, you know, cough, runny nose, fever. I think that advice would hold true in this setting as well. You're just trying to decrease the chance that you've been exposed. But there are times when you don't know if someone else might be incubating the infection, or because measles is so easy to spread, in the room that you're in, you might not know that someone's, you know, feeling unwell. And so educating yourself and your friends and family about what to look out for if they do have measles, you know, we're talking about a high fever, we're talking about red eyes, runny nose, coughing, and there's this characteristic whole body red rash that it comes with. If you Google it, there's, you know, a handful of images that come up every single time you search it. It's this blotchy red rash, and the kids are usually miserable. So I think, you know, reminding ourselves what it looks like can help for sure. And then lastly, if you happen to be traveling somewhere where there's been a resurgence of this infection or it was never eradicated, if your child hasn't had both of their doses yet, it's worth asking your doctor if they might be eligible to get that second dose sooner. So, you know, we spread out the interval to kind of increase the response to the second dose and also make sure kids are well boosted before they start grade school. But if you're traveling to a country or an area of the world where there's an outbreak, then you actually might want that second dose sooner. And so long as it's been, you know, a month since your first dose, you're okay to sometimes get that second dose. And so in a setting where someone might have the travel plans, or there might be other vulnerable family members in the household, and you're trying to get everyone's vaccines up to speed, up to date, that might be a scenario where you might want to talk to your doctor about getting that second dose a bit earlier, just as another thing you can do to try to protect yourself and your family.
Yeah, fantastic advice and very well explained in Prophecy. Thank you very much for your call. Let's go to Luann Haynes, who is in Kitchener, Ontario. Hi, Luann.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing really well. What's your question for Dr. Wong?
Dr. Wong, I have a four-month-old granddaughter. Her three-year-old brother has been vaccinated, and I'm just worried about how to best protect her from measles. I had measles in 1964, and it was no joke. And I just wondered, you made some suggestions with the previous caller. Is there anything you would add to that for a child who's not going to be eligible for the vaccine for another several months?
Thanks, Luann.
Great question, Luann. Fortunately, at that young age, most babies will still have the antibodies they received from their mom when mommy was pregnant to cover them for the first 6 months of life. under the assumption that mommy was, you know, vaccinated for measles, of course. If a child, let's say between 6 months and before they normally would get their first dose, if let's say they were going to travel or if an outbreak is declared in your community, that would be a scenario where a baby might be eligible for their first dose sooner. The only caveat I would say to that is it doesn't count towards your regular two-dose series. So the baby would still need a dose when they turn a year old, but this is extra protection you can offer them between 6 months and, I guess, 11 months and 29 days.
This is exactly why we have an expert here, Dr. Jacqueline Wong. That is fantastic advice and things that had not occurred to me about protection for somebody who's at risk under the age of one. We're running out of time, but I think I can definitely go to one call, maybe two. Lena Shamoon is also in Kitchener-Waterloo. Hi, Lena.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. What's your question for Dr. Wong?
So my question is, my son is 2 years old. He's fully vaccinated and up to date with his vaccines. It's a two set of questions. One is, what happens in a situation where there are other children in his care, daycare or school, future situations where they're not vaccinated? Is the harm to my child? Is the harm to the other kid who is not vaccinated? How do you sort of control that stigma, or how do you even go about asking whether kids are vaccinated or not? Basically, is it harmful for the people that aren't vaccinated, or is it harmful for my child who's vaccinated, who could potentially have a friend who's got, you know, something that they're not vaccinated against?
When you're asking, is it harmful, Lena, you mean, are they susceptible to getting measles?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Fair enough. So, Dr. Wong, maybe if you can give us some brief but accurate answers to these things, I'll break them down. So first of all, for Lena's child, who I assume has just had the one shot, right, Lena, at his age? So let's assume that it just has the one shot. How protected is he in that class if measles is brought into that classroom, Dr. Wong?
Yeah, statistically speaking, and thanks for the questions, Lena. I would say statistically speaking, he's probably pretty well protected. Like he would fall in the 93% of people that would have mounted a response to that first dose of the vaccine. So I would say there's a very good chance that he would be protected and not develop any symptoms himself.
And then if for the kids who are in that classroom who are unvaccinated, of course, if they don't come into contact with measles, that's fine. But if somebody, Dr. Wong, comes into that classroom or even the school with measles, how likely is it that unvaccinated kids will get measles?
Okay, that's also a really important question. So the medical term for this is like the secondary attack rate. It sounds very aggressive, but if someone has an infection and let's say they are in a room with 10 other people who have no immunity to measles, 9 out of 10 of those people are likely to develop measles. That's
wow.
How infectious this infection is.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the last thing that I would ask you, Dr. Wong, related to this is how... So not only how many people get it, but also how it hangs in the air, right? Like the measles just seems incredibly infectious also in terms of walking into a room where somebody who was infected was there for what, like an hour before?
Yeah, it's actually up to 2 hours, Ian. So measles is one of those infections that is truly airborne. And that refers to the size of the respiratory particles mm-hmm. that are transmitted from someone who's infected to someone who's not. So these secretions from your nose, from your throat when you're talking, coughing, etc. Because it's airborne spread, these respiratory particles are so small that they can stay suspended in the air. And that's where this two-hour window comes from. So if someone comes in and we know that they're worried about having measles, they've been in contact with someone or something like that, and they come into a waiting room or, you know, that's not great. Actually, we would usher them straight into a private room. And then once they've left that private room, we cannot use it for 2 hours while the air circulates through that room and gets removed through the hospital ventilation system.
Dr. Wong, it's been fantastic having you on the program. And if I may, I think the bottom line here is measles is a serious illness. The vaccinations have a very high impact in terms of protecting people from it. And they need to get those vaccinations if at all possible. Is that, did I sum that up properly, Dr. Wong?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It only takes a short flight. You know, I think we forget, right?
Yep.
It's a short flight, and sometimes infections that we haven't seen for decades are back on our doorstep.
All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Jacqueline Wong, a staff physician and assistant professor in the Division of Infectious Diseases at McMaster University. That was a portion of Cross Country Checkup's AMA about measles and kids' vaccinations with Dr. Jacqueline Wong, an infectious disease specialist at McMaster University. If you'd like to listen to yesterday's full two-hour edition of Cross Country Checkup, you can stream the podcast on the CBC Listen app. If you'd like to share comments or appear on a future show, go to cbc.ca/aircheck. I'm Ian Hanemansi. Thanks for listening. The next live edition of Checkup airs on CBC Radio, CBC News Network, and CBC News Explore next Sunday.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.